God. We live in an age. Here, let me explain. All this time, 30 years, trying to get an epigram that people would remember, and failing. A saying, boy, who said that? You know, and it would have been me. So, I think I got one here. We live in an age when Riley is the man and Justin is the dog. Maybe not. Thought I had it too. I really did in this one. Well, what do you know?
Not much. You.
Okay.
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael
good?
Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome Chicago Tribune film critic Michael Phillips, plus all the news that isn't, and a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, an amazing talent. Wait, Michael, did you mean talent? Who deserved to be on the air forever? Michael Feldman.
Oh. No, I meant Fallon. All right, so then, see, Riley is the man. Did I set it up wrong? While the dog is Justin. Okay, that was pretty good. Yeah, oh, okay, someone got it. Yeah, that's good. Think about that on the way home. I think, my God, who said that? Those years from now, people will say, who said that? We do have a dog in our neighborhood named Hazel. I like that. That's cool, because you don't hear that name much anymore. So that's a nice thing. Like Enid. I'd like to get a terrier named Enid someday. Okay, and all the Trump news that isn't, let's get it over with. Hey, I'm not going to be around during the Trump administration for you people. You got to do it now or forget about it. Let's forget about it. No, okay, well, let's do it anyway. I'll begin with a disclaimer here. Donald Trump is... Now so close to the point where stupid is not provocative, but merely stupid, that's the disclaimer. Okay. Number one, Trump's African-American fails to respond to summons. I'm building a wall. It's an inherent conflict of interest was not an incoherent rant from a man on the bus. Great relief as Californians learn there is no drought. Calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas earned the response, and totally earned the response, and you're stinking Pete the Prospector. Disney insults. Disney character insults. How much time is left? We got 3 weeks. When non-existent global warming submerges your golf course, where will you drop the ball? 3,500 harassment lawsuits do not necessarily indicate a great legal mind. This is seven now. In his defense, in Trump's defense, fraud was the most popular major at Trump U. Well, legal harassment was right up there, too. That's good. Been good for him. Been good to him. No, you cannot tweet the State of the Union. 9, I hope you have kidnapping insurance. It'll be like ransom of Yellow Chief, you know, the kidnapping. And 10, and finally, I mean that a man who cannot backdate his checks to prove donations that weren't made is not presidential. That's it. That's all I have to say. All the Trump news that isn't. Okay. Now in all the... I'm sorry I won't be here for Trump. I kind of... On the other hand, I was here for Reagan, Bush 1, Clinton, Bush 2, Obama. Come on. Give me a break here. And all the news that isn't, that is not Trump news. Cavs and Warriors, Beast and the Beauty. Oh. The dad of the six-year-old who turned him in for running a red light tells him, I'm proud of you. See you when you're 18. Sure enough, the woman whose three-year-old tumbled into the gorilla enclosure was back the next week with the other one. Because you can't take one and not take the other. Speaking of kids, in case you were, I just hope the boy who was left in the forest for 6 days has learned an important lesson about parenting. As in, not everyone should be one, apparently. Proponents in the UK now, they got the thing Brexit. You know, the British exit from the European Union. And proponents of Brexit now have adopted the Trump thing here. And they're saying the Trump approach is, let's make Great Britain great again. Let's make it redundant again, I'm thinking. So it'd be Great Great Britain or Great Again Britain or Great Squared Britain or, well, Jolly Good Britain, it served you well. The fact that American nuclear alerts are on floppy disk at least gives you a little time to think. Although delivered by paperclip guy, it's disturbing. They're coming. After 15 months, Taylor Swift and someone named Calvin Harris break up. Meanwhile, Calvin, the song, shoots to number one on iTunes. Okay. That's for people of a certain age. Obviously, we're not. But Taylor, honey, you got to get past using guys as material for songs. There's so much more than that. And less, but, you know. With AH1 now, artificial horn intelligence, Google's self-driving cars can now lean on the horn if you're not out of the house pretty darn quick. And they can play Dixie at intersections in the South. Which is kind of cool if you like that sort of thing. Facebook has an artificial AI, an artificial intelligence, deep text. It's said to have near human accuracy, but hell, I have near human accuracy. What about me? And finally, and I mean that, Roots 2 was such a success. Next, two fiddlers on the roof, ladies and gentlemen. That's all the news that isn't. Thank you so much. Put that away for safekeeping. All right. That was excessive applause. I got to tell you, I never got that much applause for basically a failed monologue. But that, I thank you for that. Michael Phillips is joining us right now in person, live and in person. He is the film critic for the Chicago Tribune. Actually, it's not no longer the Tribune. It's called Tronk. They've been rebranded, so he is the Tronk film critic, ladies and gentlemen. Would you welcome, please, Michael Phillips. There he is. How did you get back there? There is no backstage. Tronk. The Tronk.
Could I please explain that?
Tronk, film critic.
The company is the parent company. Tribune Publishing Company has, in fact, been changed to Tronk, which is an acronym for Tribune Online Content.
But oh, yeah. Not in the Urban Dictionary, it isn't.
No, I know.
Yeah, well, look that baby up. That's pretty serious.
No. Yeah. Stop. Well, it's been great fun on Twitter just to see people say, you know, tweet things like, everybody in the club say Tronk.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody said that it actually is it's the way to spell. Finally, we've determined the way to spell the Law and Order sound. Tronk, Tronk. There you go.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, you know, it's 31 years. I'm trying to get my material up to
no, speaker. We got a slot here for you if you want to take it over. I could leave this morning if you like. I get out of your way.
By the way, congrats on actually besting two major shows. 2 years longer than Captain Kangaroo ran. Yeah. And a year longer than Sábado Gigante. So it's that's good. That's good work.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And Carson.
Did you know he was Jewish, too, the guy in Sábado Gigante?
Really? Johnny Carson was not, I think.
No, Johnny Carson was.
Yeah.
He was a sweetheart, though. I met Johnny Carson.
Did you?
Yeah.
Very good.
He's a very nice guy. Okay, well, first of all, let's go start right at the top here. Keira Knightley, defend her, and then attack Johnny Depp.
You're on, Philip.
It's been great. Thank you, Michael.
Keira Knightley, come on.
Keira Knightley, why does she need defending? Why does she need defending?
Supermodel rap. You know the guy, John Carney.
Yeah, the director of Once and the new film Sing Street.
Said he'd never work with a supermodel again.
Well, he's kind of...
We've all said that, of course. Right. Except Donald Trump.
I don't think she needs any defending. But, you know, I have to say, I was looking through the list of films that were really summer films that came out since you've had this show, 1985.
And stop that. We're not doing that.
But so many of these.
I'm talking about Keira Knightley.
All right, all right.
I'll return this to you if it seems safe.
All right. Okay. Yeah, okay. I was all set to
Keira
go.
Keira Knightley. You've met her. You've talked with her.
I interviewed her once.
You interviewed her. You. Some say that you struck up a relationship with her. casual or otherwise?
Brief theoretical relationship, yes.
How did you find her? What do you think of her acting skills and as a person? You said that on the set she remained a supermodel on the set, and that was...
You know, John Carney's film, who saw Once here, the Irish film Once, and this film, the film that John Carney worked with her on was...
Begin Again.
Begin Again with Mark Ruffalo, Kenosha's own, in fact. Yeah. And
Small film,
you know, big stars in a small film. Yeah. Some people bring an entourage to a small film and it tends to stand out.
Oh,
this is apparently what happened. I don't think the behavior was not bad. It was
But Ruffalo doesn't have an entourage?
He does not.
Okay, cool.
No.
In Kenosha, he does.
Yeah.
Every corner.
He deserves it, yes. Yeah.
You see Ruffalo lookalikes in Kenosha.
That's right.
I don't know if it's intentional, but you do.
But now you want me to attack Johnny Depp? I'm happy to.
No, I'm not through with Keira Knightley yet.
Okay.
Her acting as an actress.
Keira Knightley, not a great actress. I think she's been effective in some films more than others. Yeah. You know, she's pretty good in period stuff. I think I thought she was good in Atonement.
Yeah.
What is she like off? I have no idea what she's like on set. But really? You know, I thought she was.
Or you're not talking.
Well, no.
Okay.
It's contractual. I can't talk about it.
Yeah.
But I think he took, you know, look, Carney took those comments back. He said, walked them back. He said,
You can't walk back comments.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I think it came from somebody in Hollywood saying, you should walk back that comment if you want to work anywhere.
It wasn't even a phrase when I was making stupid comments. You can take something back, but that doesn't work either.
No.
Okay.
He apologized.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Johnny Depp, you don't have to say anything about him. That's okay.
Yeah.
We get into legal questions there. Now, you liked Popstar.
I did.
That was your most recent.
Andy Samberg's kind of boof on Justin Bieber. And
I tried. I knew you liked it because I read the review. And it sounds good. I love the tennis film that you did.
Yeah.
You know that one where they played tennis to the death, basically?
Right.
I don't know, what was that called?
7 days
ago. Great film, right? Am I right?
Hilarious.
Never, it will never be made again. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes. There'll be no 7 days of hell too.
No.
Is what I'm saying. That was a great film.
So this
and this one is funny.
It's funny. It's a musical kind of mockumentary. And what people kind of forget is that even the ones we revere now, like This Is Spinal Tap, they weren't really that big a hit when they came out.
Right.
And there's just something about these kind of films that they hit their audience. Small audience, if you sort of enjoy that kind of humor, and then they never really cross over that much. But yeah, I liked it. I liked it.
I couldn't steal them. You know, usually when I know you're going to be on, I will download the films semi legally. Well, if the people want to put their Oscar film things that they get sent up online, I think it's sharing.
Sharing, right?
Sharing. And so I couldn't get the film, but I got the soundtrack. Here's a little bit from Popstar.
Watch out! Watch out!
I've got it all, and I'm getting more, but I never fall, beat them all, cause you know I'm so humble. I'm so humble. I'm so humble. I'm so humble. I'm a superstar. Kick down the door. Got the money and the bills, and I'm also so humble.
I'm so humble.
I'm so humble.
I'm so humble.
So humble.
Good. I'm so humble.
Actually, one of the funniest bits of the movie is they cut to a quick interview shot of Mariah Carey saying, you know, there's something about that song I could really relate to.
All right. I always like Sandberg. You can't go wrong with him too much. Because I love the thing they did with cats, you know, shooting cats at one another. Remember that thing? Laser cats. That was good. That'll be never done again either. Neither. All right, so what do we like? We like Popstar. What else do we like currently?
Right now, actually, I like that film. It's coming out on DVD and streaming in about a month. But Sing Street, which is in theaters a while back, speaking of John Carney, very, very good film from Ireland.
But she's not in that one.
She's not in that one, though. Yeah.
What is Sing Street about?
It's set in the 80s, and it's a basically kind of semi-autobiographical piece about high school kids in a Catholic school in Dublin finding each other and guys forming a band and you know, a little
sort of like the that other one. Those guys did their band thing.
Right. I think it's not the first film that actually has people
the
starting
Commitments.
A band. But yeah, Commitments. Yeah. This is actually better than Commitments, I think. Yeah. Sing Street. Yep. Hmm. Yeah, I like it.
I like the Commitments a lot.
Yeah. Well, I like
You're saying
it.
It's better?
I like this one better.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you may have to check it out. You may have to check it out one way or the other there, Michael.
The Angry Birds movie, Disappointment?
You know, I didn't see it. Scheduled a vacation for that week.
On purpose?
Might have, accidentally, purely accidentally. Yeah.
Is it live action or is it cartoon?
No, it's not live action. No.
Because that would be cool if they did like a Disney thing. You know, Disney live action with actual Angry Birds.
I think
birds.
They started, the first week of filming was live action, but so many dead birds, they ended up going animated with that.
Yeah.
X-Men Apocalypse was a disappointment at the box office, I understand.
It's just okay. Nothing brings on senility quicker than a lot of these, too many of these sequels, you know, X-Men. Yeah. It's not terrible, and the actors are not the problem, but I think the actors are never really the problem.
Is this live action or cartoon?
This is a documentary. There actually was... We came damn close to a real apocalypse there.
Yeah. Is that all you have to say about
that? That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
I'm just teeing them up for you, pal.
Who are the X-Men? Are the X-Men like that guy who's a big hunk of something with plates looking like a...
Plates. That sounds like Ratatouille. Plates?
No, you know, but I mean, he looks like...
Transformer.
No.
He's... Iron Man?
Iron Man. Is he one of the...
No.
It's a different franchise?
Different franchise universe.
What are they? Marvel? Captain Marvel?
It's a different wing of Marvel, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, like, who's an X-Man?
You got your Patrick Stewart here, played by James McAvoy.
But that's not a character. Patrick Stewart is a person.
No. But an X-Man, you know?
Yeah, but what's an X-Man character?
I mean, you got...
Is that the guy who stretches the rubber?
Right.
Is that... No.
Fantastic Four, my God.
Yeah.
We need to get some nerd
Anyone know
up here.
Who, like an X-Man, personally?
Charles Xavier is who James
Charles
McAvoy plays.
Wolverine is in that universe.
Oh, Wolverine is? Is an X-Man?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Storm, yes.
Mystique.
Cyclops.
Okay, then I don't want to know. All right. Neighbors 2. Not as good as Neighbors 1, I'm thinking.
Right. Neighbors 2, that's out and gone already.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I stole that one. I managed to steal that one because no one wanted it. So I thought it was floating around. And Neighbors, it was sort of funny. Their parts of the really were actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I like the first Neighbors, comments. Actually. Yeah.
And Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, which begins with a scene where they're having a sexual Congress. Can you say that? Not that it happens in Congress.
Right.
That would be in Congress. What was I going to say? I get lost in my own...
I don't know. Everything you mentioned is a sequel. That's what makes me crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It begins with a scene where they're having a sexual congress, and she throws up on him.
Yeah.
And so, and it's Seth Rogen, you know.
Right.
And her. She's very good, too. And I couldn't get past that scene. You know, that was it. I couldn't even...
Yeah.
Even though it cost me nothing.
Yeah, that's...
Who makes a movie that starts like that?
It's not what they call a soft opening, you know? It's you have to either like that moment or you
Who
don't.
Who directed that? Anybody? Who directed The Neighbors?
There was actually a blank, I think, on the screen, directed by.
What's that fake name they used for director many years ago?
Oh, yeah, Smithy, Alan Smithy. Alan that was always Smithy, the name they used when the director either got yanked off the project or just didn't want the name of the project. Directed by Alan Smithy.
Alan Neighbors 2, an Alan Smithy film. Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, that couldn't have worked. Did she get married again, or what was that thing?
I believe I scheduled a funeral for that
one. All right, okay.
See that.
Ben Affleck versus Superman, who wins?
Oh, my God. I'm still recovering from Batman versus Superman. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm suing for emotional distress.
What?
That was a really long, punishing, difficult, awful, I quit sort of movie for me. I mean, it really was almost one of the worst
of those.
But did
you like it?
No, I didn't.
Ben Affleck
but
was good,
if they need a quote for the DVD cover, I will say, shattering and beautiful. Even though I hated it. No, I really did.
Do you do that
it.
For DVD covers? Do you get asked?
No, occasionally.
Can they just use your words?
They quote me sometimes saying, eh.
You know, and then the Brothers Grimsby, I was able to steal that with the Brothers Grimsby with Sacha Baron Cohen. I just got into the credits and it was terrible. And I really like him often. Times,
yeah, it's a strange career. The first Borat was, I thought, 86 minutes of really great, rude comedy. Terrific.
Yes,
and
brilliant.
Every film since from him has been significantly less funny.
Yeah.
And by the way, since he's telling us that he's...
My daughter is standing up against the wall here, Ellie. Wouldn't they give you a seat, dear? I know they were sold out, supposedly. Yeah, here's a seat for my daughter Ellie here. Can she sit next to you?
Yeah.
I got those guys in too for nothing. Because they look pretty sad out in the hallway there trying to get in. Yeah, sit next to them. They're good. Introduce yourself. That's my daughter. I'm so sorry. What were you saying?
No, I always get a little nervous every time you mention the pirating, you know, the downloading illegally. I just feel I think we're all technically
also. I know.
Why do you
keep bringing it up? I don't
want to
make a big
this.
Thing about it. I won't do it anymore.
Okay. All right.
Just do it for my own reasons. Now, no, yeah, I thought it was justifiable.
Okay, well, we'll see you in court.
Keanu.
Yeah.
I love those guys.
I love those guys too. This is Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele and fantastic talents. And the film is pretty good for about 45 minutes. Keanu and. No go. But
it gets worse and worse and very violently worse.
Yeah. Typical action comedy mistakes.
Yes.
Every R-rated action comedy comes out of Hollywood, no matter who's in it. The second half is all violent action and no comedy.
Yeah.
And they just think, okay, well, we've tried the comedy for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
That's harder. We don't want to do that anymore. You know, that's kind of the
feeling. You know who can only do that? Itchy and Scratchy. Funny, violent comedy. They're the only ones I've ever seen that can do it.
That's right. They cut right to it.
Yeah. And it's good. It's very graphic, but it's funny.
Great film coming out this summer, though, called Don't Think Twice by Mike Birbiglia, the comedian, and Keegan-Michael Key is in that. And that is it's one of the best films I've ever seen about comedy and comedians, and in this case, an improv troupe working in New York. Great.
So
really good.
It's about that, or
yeah,
it is
it's,
that?
It's fictional. It's a really astute film about just kind of the personalities that pursue that kind of thing. It's great. So don't think twice.
Okay. Will there be a Revenant 2? Return of the Bear.
Revenant 2, Bear's Revenge.
Bear's Revenge. Better title.
They're going to get that Oscar one way or the other. They feel they're so angry they didn't get it, you know.
Now, did you go to Cannes this year?
No. First year in 10, I didn't.
Asked you like 3 or 4 times now, and you said no.
No, I went last 10 years, man.
You did?
10 years.
So you didn't? Because they say this, the Korean Gothic lesbian revenge thriller was the film.
That was the film.
Yeah.
Boy, what a year to miss, you know?
Yeah. Park Chan-wook's The Handmaiden.
Right. It's a good film. Good
have you
filmmaker.
Seen it?
No, I have not. A good filmmaker, I should say. Yeah. But this year.
I got nothing to say about that.
Okay.
How come you didn't go?
You know, we're going to do
a reorganization there at the Tribune?
There is money. It's never easy to convince them to let me to go, but we're going to try a couple different festivals later in the year. Equally expensive, so.
All right. The new Jane Austen film.
is funny.
Jane Austen's still coming out with films. I think it's so amazing. her point is so encouraging to me at my point in my career that Jane Austen can still come out with a film, and it's very well regarded.
Once she realized there was that much money to be made in Hollywood,
she has a lot of pride and she has a lot of prejudice. I'll say that for her. But she's great.
No, it's good. Love and Friendship. And it's based on a story, a relatively little-known story from her early... She was like 19 when she wrote it. And Whit Stillman, who made Metropolitan and other films, Last Days of Disco, Barcelona, turned out to be a great match for that. And Kate Beckinsale, very funny in it. The whole film works.
So, is Keira Knightley in this?
No, she's not. No. No. No, she tried, but they wouldn't let her in.
Captain America, Civil War, no, right, Keanu. Give me one more film here now that recently you've seen that you thought was outstanding. And if we don't see it, there's something wrong with us.
Outstanding. Jeez.
Or really good.
Really good. You know, I
must see.
You mentioned it. It's every time I feel like I'm absolutely weary of all the superhero franchises and all that, then you get a movie like The Last Captain America that actually works.
Yeah.
Is it great? No, it's way better than average. And, you know, these are products, not artistic expressions.
Right.
And it's a big box of cereal, and sometimes it's just better made, a little more satisfying, a little funnier, a little sharper with the action than usual. And that, especially coming off Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. And who is Captain America?
Chris Evans is the actor.
Oh, Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. Yep.
He can make something bad good.
Yeah.
How's he do that?
He's good.
Who would have thought?
Money.
It too?
They pay him to do that.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
That's true.
Yeah. That's great. Well, unless there's something else you want to add about the filmmaking or the history of the world of filmmaking, or if you want to go through all these films since 1985.
No, I just wanted to go through
it back to you.
No, it's fine. No, I got nothing to add.
Okay. Oh, even your joke here about 2 years longer than Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah, I wrote that down.
Now I think a little less of you.
Okay, I wrote that down. I will say
Back to the Future, I knew that one.
Yeah, that was in 1985. That was a big hit.
Howard the Duck, 86. Yeah.
Howard the Duck, that was not a good film. Yeah. Not a hit.
I think we'll leave it at there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me on. And thanks for all the good radio over the years.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Michael Phillips from Trunk Film. The man from Trunk. Formerly Tribune. And Keira Knightley. Okay. Is this here. Save this for next time. We'll do all those 31 years of films. Back to the Future.
Oh, I'm glad you stopped him with all the films that you...
Oh, yeah. That could
be depressing.
I told him. He said, he wants to do all the films. I said, no, come on. Anything but that. Start with Keira Knightley. That's my motto. And end with Keira Knightley, if possible. All right, then. Pretty good, then?
Yeah.
Have you seen any of these films, John?
I have not.
No?
No. I haven't been to many films lately.
Uh-huh.
Well, for some reason, I mean,
a dead end of conversation.
Well, no, I just kind of get...
Do you just rent? You rent a film, or you
do
Netflix?
I rent it, or...
Do you have Netflix?
No, just like on demand, but so I get them like 2 years later.
What's the last film that you actually watched?
Last film I actually watched. You always ask me this, and if I would have thought of it, you wouldn't have asked. But
yeah,
so I don't remember. I don't remember it right.
Well, let's think about it some more. I have plenty of time here. My career is just ticking away.
No, I'm afraid to go to a theater anymore. I don't know. Bad things happen, and people get beat up. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's only if you're texting or something.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, forget it. Jeff.
Yes.
Last film you saw?
I took my son to see the Star Wars one.
Star Wars.
Yes.
Loved it. You both loved it?
Yes, he loved it a lot.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Sorry.
What's this little number here going to be?
This is a tune of mine called Look Alive.
Look Alive.
listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
No, I thought it was open, that's all. I don't want to look, you know, fish for you guys looking at me. Okay. All right, pretty good. Sorry. What is your favorite children's book? You know, you should have asked me when I was a kid. I can't remember the names of most of them, but I liked Danny Dunn and the Anti-Gravity Paint. Not familiar with it? I don't think there was a movie, or you'd know that book. So if it came out now, he could paint. He had this anti. I don't know how he got it. They never explained how Danny Dunn got the anti-gravity paint. However, if you painted the anti-gravity paint on the bottom of your shoes, you could float. You could just go up, you know. But if it wears off, you're dead. You know, I mean, or if you change shoes in mid-flight, you know, it's a terrible thing. But so he did all kinds of adventures with. Okay, never mind. Who is your pick to win the Stanley Cup? Is that from the Stanley screwdriver people? Housewares? Is there a housewares? What? Silver cup. For a screwdriver company? I don't know. I have to think about it. Do you like Civil War reenactors? No. Can't abide them. What is their problem? I mean, there is... I'm sure there's some good ones and some... But then you're in the South and say, oh, Civil War. Okay, fine. Okay, how did that war go for you then? You know, I mean, in the North, it's still weird, a guy dressed. I mean, it's weird. Why would you do that? Okay. Is there one? Do we have a reenactor here? Maybe it's in defense of the... Yes? You do it?
Yes.
You love it? And
yes.
What? You know, it's just something I haven't really explored. I should reserve judgment until I actually go out and reenact a war of some sort. Because where are you? Are you back here? You're a pretty big guy, too, aren't you? Yeah. Why don't you come down here, and then that way I'm backing towards the door just in case you reenact it a little too closely. Have you got a favorite battle?
Gettysburg.
Gettysburg is always good, except for the sitting through the speech.
Well,
but that was afterwards, I guess. And so you do the whole thing?
Yeah.
You got all the stuff?
Both sides.
You do both sides?
Thousands of dollars worth of stuff.
From both sides?
Yeah.
What, are you a liberal? What's the matter with you?
Yes.
You do both sides. You got to pick a side, even a reenactment.
You have to equal enthusiasm for both sides.
Yeah? And where do you do this?
All over. Been to Gettysburg?
Are there like on Craigslist? We're having a battle. Come on down, something like that.
Yeah, we have. You know, we eat the food, pack in, pack out.
Eat the food. Do they make the food authentically?
We kind of make it, hardtack and stuff. It's not good.
Okay. All right. And your name is?
Jim Schumann.
Jim, and what rank are you in your reenactments?
Well, I try not to be an officer. Never.
They're the first ones to go, are they?
No. I just don't want the responsibility.
No. Even though the war is long over and there's...
Yeah. You have to do extra work, so...
Okay, thanks. Thank you for setting me straight.
Thank you for all the years.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm going to look into it now. Well, I just have to pick a war. I'm going to have a lot of time on my hands. Civil War. I like the Peloponnesian War is what I'm thinking. Because I like the way they dress. It's cool, and it's... So maybe that. I don't know. I wonder if they have reenactors for that one. Roll out the barrels from the Hess Cooperage. We have a cooperage in Madison. Did you know that? Apparently you knew that, sir, because you're raising your hand, and you...
Yes.
Are you Hess from the Hess Cooperage?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll come back there. You come as far forward here as you can. Oh, come a little closer. Come on. Don't make me do all the walking. How are you, Hess?
I'm good, thank good. You.
What's your name?
My name is Gary Hess.
Gary Hess. Cooperage is where they make barrels and things.
Yeah, white oak barrels. My grandfather was an immigrant from Bohemia. And starting at age 12, he served an apprenticeship in Bohemia, become a journeyman cooper.
Wow.
3-year apprenticeship starting at age 12, and then at age 20, he was the only sibling that immigrated to America. And after spending a few years in Chicago and Pertusheen, he traveled to Madison from Pertusheen, and he spent 62 years in Madison manufacturing white oak beer barrels for dozens and dozens of breweries, becoming Wisconsin's largest independent cooperage. And I have written a book, and the title is Roll Out the Barrels, and it's available in about 6 dozen libraries in the state for everybody to check out. That's free of charge.
It's a great story. Share it for the cooperage.
I got to show you something.
You got to show me. You got to show me something. There's a barrel in that little bag. No.
My publisher designed that. You can have that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
A little publicity, but there is not still a cooperage.
No. It went out of
something
business.
Else in your pocket there. You got a lot of stuff that you're losing some of it.
This is
oh, this is your card.
My business card.
Okay, thank you. Gary Hess.
It started in 1904 and went out of business in 1966. So.
Anything else? Do you have an actual barrel?
I have barrels, but not here.
Oh, okay.
My barrels are on loan at the Dean House in Madison. On the east side of Madison. The Dean House is a historic farmhouse.
Okay, yes.
It's on the property of the Monona Golf Course on the east side of Madison. Yeah. And it's
a lot of balls in the cooperage.
Yes. Yep.
There's a sentence I'll never say again.
So that's
sort of want to, though. It's kind of a neat. That could be my little epigram that I. Oh, thank you. It was very nice to meet you.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And an excellent story. And read the book. It's called Wisconsin's Largest Cooperage, Hess Cooperage. Roll Out the Barrels. Gary, yes. Thank you. How are we doing time wise?
Good.
Doing all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Naked bike ride coming up on June 18th. Would you like to join me?
We're free that week, Michael.
I don't know about you, but I am definitely free that week. And Holly, where's Holly McEntee? Yeah, I think so, Holly. I don't have a bike. And if I did, my disc would not allow me, actually. But I would certainly stand behind you on this. And I would throw water on you on the side as you're passing at various places. I'll just hop in my car and follow the track. Where is this going to take place?
They don't reveal the starting
point. Oh, no, of course not.
It'll be in Madison.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know where they start.
You don't know where it's going to start?
No. They don't tell you till the day.
Tell you what to wear?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
There is a dress code.
Oh, you know what? We were sitting in the Great Dane that time? And all these naked people on bikes came by and were waving at us.
Now it all makes sense.
Was that you?
No, this will be the first year I'm doing it.
Okay.
And I'm very excited.
How do you feel? How do you feel about it?
I hadn't even thought about it until this morning when she told me she was doing it.
And tell me some of the emotions you're feeling right now.
Well, immediately I thought good for you, but, you know, I'm way too fat to do that.
I find it tends to be the wrong people on the naked bike rides.
But I'm doing it this year.
No, I don't mean you, but you know what I mean in general. Just judging by that window view that we got that time.
Why were you looking at me when you said that?
Not at all. You look terrific. What?
If you don't have a bicycle, you can rent them, or you can use the Madison B bikes.
Yeah. Well, I would. Those other people have to get on those afterwards.
But there's sanitation.
Okay, fine. Okay, no, thank you very much. Thank you, Holly. I'll see you there. I'll just keep wandering around town. So. Oh, it is? Okay. All right. Okay.
That air horn sounded quite deflated.
Another what do you know audience, you know, barrels and naked bike riding. Pretty much covers it. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, chance to win fabulous prizes just for being fabulous.
And where was the person? The woman was going crazy. Yes, come down here and go crazy over here now. With four disclaimers. Why? And first of all, tell me, why is this so important to you?
It's on my bucket list.
All right, then. Your name is?
Kathleen.
Kathleen. Kathleen, I'm going to give you this. Get out of your way.
Okay.
Sock it to me.
The four disclaimers. Our questions used on what you know have painstakingly researched. I know the answers to that. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are bad.
I don't have to. You don't want me to?
That's your actual voice. I don't mean to insult you.
No, you don't want me to.
I would. That was a good taste of it.
Okay, all right. Okay. That's what it's going to do. Yeah.
Liked my drone at first, but then it kept going on and on and on. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have recently won should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member station, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Very well done, for the most part. Thank you. Well, let's see the hands of those of you who want to indicate an interest in playing the What Do You Know quiz. I'm looking for a certain je ne sais quoi. Je ne sais quoi. Two. That's French. That means you. You got the French thing going. You got it going. How are you?
Good.
And your name is?
Amelia.
Amelia? Here, let everyone see what you look like from this side, too. Amelia, everybody. You from around here, Amelia?
Milwaukee.
From Milwaukee. Oh, Milwaukee. One good reason you should play this quiz, Amelia.
Because you interviewed me a couple years ago about my book about tattooed ladies.
Tattooed lady! I remember it! In Waukesha, we did that one up. Yeah, come on up here, Amelia. Let's see how you're doing. Amelia the tattooed lady, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Have a seat there if you would. Amelia.
So hopefully all the questions are about tattooed ladies.
Yeah. Are you going on that bike ride? Showing
no,
off?
No. Sounds uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I see you got the right seat. I think it's all right.
Oh, no. Ooh, no.
What? We can't stand the whole way. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, you're working on good. More books since Tattoo Lady?
Yes.
What's your latest?
Well, the Tattoo Lady book has been published twice since we chatted.
In various countries, I bet.
In various countries.
Yeah.
Two editions.
Wonderful.
Written lots of articles about tattooed performers and tattoo culture and that sort of stuff. Yeah.
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 It's amazing. We're back into a tattoo culture.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
And so you're riding the crest of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Trying to, at least.
Yeah. Where do you go from tattooed culture for your next book?
More
staying
tattooed
with it?
Culture. Staying
more
with
tattoo?
It. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There's lots of things to explore.
I would say so. And what are you doing in Milwaukee when you're not doing the tattoo culture things?
I'm a librarian.
Oh, that's right. You're a librarian.
Yeah, I work for Milwaukee Public Library.
Milwaukee Public Library. I love it. She loves her library. She'll be taking that shirt off, though, when she's riding her bike, so you won't know that she supports a public library.
She should get a tattoo that says that. Then we'll all know.
I was the Billy the Bookworm winner.
Ooh.
In 1960, I want to say.
What,
my card
what
is 551-9412C.
And now we can go all
because
check
I
out
lost
books
it.
On your account.
I don't think this card works anymore. You're welcome to try it if you like.
What prizes
it's a C
did
because
you win?
If you lose it once, it's a B. You lose it twice, it's a C. Lose it again, you're out of the library. Yeah.
We don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's your summer? You got something planned? Anything big? Trips?
Going camping in August.
Camping?
Up to northern Minnesota.
Northern Minnesota?
Oh, yeah.
They got them black biting flies up there, you know. They can carry off an entire campground.
That's if you go in June. If you go in August, it's just mosquitoes.
Oh, okay.
Trust me.
You got this plan.
The mosquitoes are better than the black flies.
You go up there? Yeah.
Yeah. We go to the Boundary Waters.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of a canoe you got?
A Alumacraft lightweight.
Yeah?
From the 90s.
Really? Is it lightweight?
It's probably lighter than the other aluminum canoe we bought, which is from the 70s and weighs lots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you just forage while you're up there?
No. No, we pack lots of those yummy freeze-dried foods that you would never eat.
Yeah.
Like here, you'd be like, I'm not touching that stuff. When you're out there, you're like, oh, I've been paddling all day. I'll eat whatever. This tastes great.
Yeah.
The kind where you just add water and it cooks in the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it look like anything when you add water to it?
You don't.
I think I had that one time, but I didn't look at it. I just,
yeah, you
know,
just,
I didn't
have
water.
You're too hungry and tired, and you just eat it. You don't care.
Sounds good.
Well,
that would be a great time. Amelia Summan gets to play along with you on this quiz. And Stephanie, how does that work?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Oh, wait a second. Okay, at age 96, he finally did his first maneuver. Who am I talking about? Made the news. You probably heard this. Let's go to Donna in Groveland, Illinois. Hey, Donna.
Hello?
How are you?
Hold on just a second, because
I'm
having trouble hearing you.
Okay. How about now?
Try again.
How about now?
Okay.
Okay. Donna, at age 96, he finally did his first maneuver. Who am I talking about?
First maneuver?
His first maneuver.
At 96.
Yes. You got the details correct.
George H.W. Bush.
I love the answer, Donna. Sorry, no. Okay, Linda's in Randolph, Wisconsin. Linda, how are you?
Fine.
You're fine?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Thanks for calling, then. Patrick's in Stoughton. No, Patrick knows what I'm talking about.
Hey.
Hi. How are you? Age 96. He did his first maneuver, finally. After being known for his maneuvers all these years, finally did one. Who am I talking about?
I'm not sure. Some guy did graduate at age 96.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Talk to you a little later. Then there's Vinny. And Vinny's the scary guy from Chicago called again. Hey, Vinny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez. I thought you'd find me in the final days of my career, Vinny. Honestly, I've got the money. I just need 2 weeks. What?
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Yeah, I heard that.
Let me check the phone.
No, there's probably something in your phone there that's recording all your messages.
Yeah, it's a long way to Chicago.
Yeah, long way. Vinny.
Yeah.
96 did his first maneuver. Finally, who is it?
Well, you got to tell me more than that.
Talk to you later. Brian's in Salisbury, Maryland. Brian, come on. Help me out here.
I have no idea. I've been trying to get it. I sounds like somebody military.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. Either Nickel or Michael in Guilford, Vermont.
Hi, yeah. I actually heard this on CPR. I believe it was Dr. Heimlich.
Heimlich. Henry Heimlich. Who else does maneuvers? Nobody. Out. Oh, yeah. Nickel, how are you?
Just fine. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you. And you knew that. And did you ever Heimlich anyone?
Fortunately, no.
Yeah. Fortunately for them or for you?
For both of us.
Yeah. He did it in 96, and apparently it worked. So it's nice to know his theory was vindicated at this late date. Nickel, Amelia.
Hello. Hey, Amelia.
Hi, Nickel.
You are a team now, so you work together. No competition, only cooperation here on this show.
Who better to be kicked with the librarian?
Okay, yes, true. We have various categories, don't we, Stephanie?
We do. Yes. Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Nickel, let you pick the first one. What would you like?
How about things you should have learned in school?
Things you should have learned in school. Promposals. So apparently kids now, when they're going to a prom, they got to beef up the offer with some outrageous expensive thing. Does she get to keep it if she doesn't go with it? I don't know. That's terrible. It's called promposals is what they call. Stupid, lavish, or costly gifts to tell your prom date you want to go out to prom with them. They are now, they've gone up to what level of cost is the question? $190, $324, or $467 for a promposal.
All right, what do you think?
Oh, let's go to the top.
Sure, that sounds good.
Okay, $467, that is good. Okay, wonderful. Yes. Woo! Ridiculous. You put balloons on their car. What's the big deal? You take soap and you put hearts on their windows and balloons on their car. They don't
kids
like that. They don't deserve you.
I think my prom dress only costs $20, so I don't know.
Kids these days, right?
That would be.
All right, one right. The remaining categories are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Ridiculous.
Odds and ends.
Yes, okay, odds and ends.
I may regret this.
Okay, well, it's a minor thing to regret if you think about it. Which species most exaggerates the size of its sperm? I mean, compared to its size. Please. What'd you say, horsefly? Oh, that's a pretty good one. Which species most exaggerates the size of the sperm compared to the size of the actual creature? You know, much. Okay, anyway. Is it the fruit fly, the earwig, or the trump?
Tiny.
They are.
So if they have anything like a normal sized sperm, they'd be sort of relatively larger.
They could be winners.
That seems like a good guess.
Yes, fruit fly is right. Whoa, look out. Good thinking. Oh, the Trump is pretty close. I would say.
That's two right, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, and science.
Back to Nickel.
Oh, let's try science.
Science it is. Okay, should you quit smoking to sync with your menstrual cycle, or please no?
Should I?
No. You a definite please no, I'm saying. Let me ask you this. Should you quit smoking to sync with your menstrual cycle, or please no?
Oh, my goodness.
You should just quit smoking.
That's not an option.
That's not an option, okay. Yeah. Maybe, I'm thinking maybe please no because you're stressed out. What do you think?
What are you thinking, Nickel?
Oh, I'm afraid to say anything, but I would all agree.
That's a good tactic.
That's fair.
What? You'll agree with what?
I'll with what Amelia said.
What are you saying?
I'm saying please no. Other one? The yes? Quit smoking.
Hey, it's not my cycle. You don't have to ask me
first,
about this kind
first
of thing.
I've one.
Definitely wouldn't. What?
The first one?
Oh, so you're saying yes?
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
Yay!
It actually seems to work. Don't try it around me. Thank you.
Amelia, you've won the essential distillation of facts and ideas culled from the 32 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica and Michael Thalman's Glad You Asked, intriguing names, facts, and ideas for the curious-minded from Triumph Books. Michael, you'll get up every day on the right side of the bed with Steep & Brew Breakfast Blend Coffee and make afternoons more relaxing with smooth and tasty Costa Rican Terrazu from Madison's Steep & Brew Coffee, coffee done right. And each of you can learn personal revelations of Michael's examined life in Something I Said, Innuendo, and Out the Other from Terrace Books, and replay the quiz with What Do You Know? The Party Game, including questions, audience, and contestants, as well as the irrepressible Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing. Congratulations to both of you.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Unrepressible.
Looking to keep the laughs going? Click over to notmuch.com. You can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International.
Thank you.
Another one.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, It's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's best-selling author Michael Perry, plus a new batch of Thanks for the Memos, all the news that is, and a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who says, "Let me stand by the side of the road and be an annoyance to man," Michael Feldman.
I always love that quote. I wish I would have said that one. Hey. So each week at this time, we get actual memos sent in by actual memo writers and receivers. Sometimes the writers are so proud of their memo, they'll send it in. Mistakenly proud of it, I might add. Oh, we got some things here. Let's see what we got here. Here, did any of you get excited about the strange sport of biathlon during the Sochi Olympics? Here's your chance to give it a try here in Madison. The Blackhawk Ski Club come out and support local and regional athletes during the final Wisconsin Biathlon Cup races of the season. If you have the itch to ski and shoot yourself, there is a novice race on Saturday. Okay.
No, this coming Saturday?
There's a new sport they could, like, golf and shoot. You know, you golf and then you got to shoot the target or something.
Yeah. Or you can shoot at the golfers if you sat on the head. Oh, okay. So I don't know what that was all about. No, that was from March. How about this one then? This is found in a Kentucky State Park campground brochure. Campers are limited to 2 tents per site or 1 camper and 1 tent per site. The buddy site is an exception where 3 campers and the tents may be present or 6 tents and no campers. The moral here is don't go camping anywhere in Kentucky.
I just got back from Kentucky, Michael.
Did you camp there?
We did not camp there.
See what I mean?
Next time, though.
You knew better. Have you gone camping in Kentucky?
I have never gone camping, so that's on my bucket list.
So Santa Bob was on to something.
Yeah.
He wants to camp with you across America.
I know. I'm keeping that in mind for my summer.
Yes. All right, that didn't work either. How about this one? Here, this is good. You'll like this. Maybe not. An issue has arisen in our office as to how we will be spelling the word color. For those of you in the USA office, they are using the spelling C-O-L-O-R. For those in the Canadian office, they are using the spelling C-O-L-O-U-R. Where did that sound come from? As do those in our UK and Hong Kong offices. Most documentation uses the U.S. spelling C-O-L-O-R, even though the software used comes from Canada and the U.K. A solution, as this really affects searches, is to keep the use restricted to C-O-L-O-R, as that spelling is used in the software. As far as document titles, we can create 2 tags, one for C-O-L-O-R and another for C-O-L-O-U-R. Thus, any searches for document titles will find either solution. One suggestion is to have people just search for C-O-L-O, which will locate either spelling. Or colostomy.
That's something different.
What?
That's different.
What? Can't hear you. I got headphones on here. Another suggestion is to not hire anyone unable to figure this out by themselves. There it is. Good ending to a doubtful memo. That's all the memos that, and you can send those, but send them quick. If you got them, you got to send them quick. I would airmail them, overnight them. Where?
They can send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post them there.
And for all the news that is from around here, well, there's this. I just found one thing here. Teachers ticketed for vandalizing Reedsburg High School principal's pickup truck. Teachers, a gag that went too far.
Our heroes.
Oh, they got arrested for it, though. James Reynolds, a former Reedsburg High School teacher. And Tracy Chambas, a teacher at Webb Middle School. A former teacher and current teacher in the Reedsburg school system were ticketed by Reedsburg police for allegedly flattening two tires on the high school principal's pickup truck during high school graduation Friday night. Oh. I can see about they're doing it a lot, you know. Like, and, of course, trying to blame it on the kids. Tracy of Baraboo teaches at Webb Middle School. James Reynolds of Hill Point used to teach at Reedsburg High School. Now is in the Weston School District. Were identified as the vandals when security camera video was reviewed. The two were cooperative with the investigation and took responsibility for their actions. Always good in a teacher. They characterized it as a prank. The prank involved taking... The prank, by the way, is in quotes. The prank involved taking out the valve stem pins on two tires of Principal Rob Taylor's truck, causing the tires to go flat. Reynolds and Chambas were cited for disorderly conduct and released pending a municipal court date. So keep you, hopefully we'll be able to keep you up on this. The only thing else in all news it is me. I seem to be everywhere, mainly on Twitter. When this ends, I'm going on Twitter full time. There's no money in it, but there's a lot of gratification. And so I've actually been trying to do, kind of a mild job search on Twitter. You know, there's not a lot of radio stations that are hiring this kind of thing. So here's some of them. Michael Feldman. Just remembered I could go back to driving cab. # union cab. # refired mint. Here's another one. What I won't be is somebody's little ride hoe. # Uber. And then the next one, that was 43 minutes, and then 33 minutes, 10 minutes later. See, they got two guys in the Badger popcorn truck, so they don't need anybody. Then this was up just 2 minutes later. I've done the celebrity cab driver thing around here, and people don't tip you because they think you don't need it. # refiredment. And then scarcely a minute later, I wouldn't have to work at all, but I need the proof of existence. Okay. I'm sharing here. Come on. Another minute later. One thing for sure, I don't have time to work my way up. Less than a minute after that, I said, the jobs I'm qualified don't exist anymore. Liverymen. Don't see ads for them. 30 seconds later, was nice to people on the way up, doesn't help. A comment on radio, long overdue. Radio went the way of Radio Shack. Then I said, about a minute and a half later, on the other hand, in commercial radio, would have been fired 30 times in 30 years. Talk about other job possibilities. Can't go back to English teaching because I suspect the kids would not find Simon and Garfunkel groovy. And then... this all happened pretty fast. I won't give you the time signatures on it. Too easy to fall back on inspirational speaker. And then don't see a Kate Jenner solution for me. And then the final one in this sequence, anyhow, there's been more. Damn, I've been talking to the Al Gore from You Rent Furniture in Denver. # LinkedIn. There you have it. And it's, thank you so much for this. Okay. Job search goes on. Sometimes you think about reinventing the wheel, but what else is going to work but a wheel, you know? Anything else is going to have corners on it. And thump, thump, thump. Michael Perry is joining us. I think he's here.
Yes.
He likes to hide out. You know Michael Perry. The Jesus Cow is the latest one. And he's here somewhere. Michael Perry, ladies and gentlemen. There he is. Hi, Michael Perry. How's by you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, good. You're going to wear those. Okay. I like to hear yourself, do you?
I like to bathe in my own reverb.
Yeah. Well, you got a good voice, man. You got that good voice. When you called up, I knew it was you immediately when you called up on the show in Eau Claire. Claiming to be someone from Nashville.
I was someone from Nashville that day. I was sitting in a rental car in a parking lot behind a church.
Yeah. So do you know someone named Jim Scoobin?
I do.
Yeah.
Only I know him as Mr. Scoobin.
Mr. Scoobin. And because he knows you, because he was up there in Eau Claire. And yeah. Was he your teacher up there?
Well, I did indeed take a class with him. He, however, taught, and I'm going to run afoul of someone because I don't know what the current term is, but in the 80s, he was the shop teacher.
Oh, I think industrial arts, we call it.
Industrial arts. And when he, I was in there once. And I think we all established that my strengths resided elsewhere.
Oh. Well, what did you make in there that convinced him of that?
I made a bowl.
What can go wrong with a bowl?
Well, I'll tell you what can go wrong with a bowl. The bowl, we were supposed to make a bowl on the lathe, right? But I, first you had to glue the chunks of wood together.
Yeah.
And so I glued together about 8 inches of hard oak. 8 inches of hard oak. And then I tried to round it off, and the rounding off kind of went okay, but then I tried to actually gouge out the bowl portion.
Yeah.
And red oak, I don't know, maybe our tools just weren't up to speed there in Auburn either, but I ground on that thing for about half a semester. And what I wound up with was an 8-inch tall, kind of almost slightly concave thing you could maybe put a couple M&Ms in.
Yeah. You got a colander there in the end, is what I'm thinking.
I think when it was all over, he just pointed me in the direction of the English room.
Yeah. Well, he speaks very highly of you.
He's a great guy. He was, I remember him giving a speech to us in the gym very early on. And if I remember correctly, he's from Chicago originally. Hmm. And he was one of those great guys that made an impression on me because I remember him standing there in our little town. We were a bunch of farm kids and him just saying, there's a big old world out there. And he was talking about Chicago and his experiences there. And he's one of the people that helped me pick up my head and look outside Chippewa County.
Yeah. And he said something about Rube Goldberg. What is that about?
Well, they have a Rube Goldberg contest every year, and New Auburn has become a perennial powerhouse in that. Yeah, they take it very seriously. And,
were you involved in that?
I was not. No. I think maybe they weren't doing it when I was still in school, and I think if they were, they'd have probably said, "Well, you could be the mascot." Yeah, or write the press releases.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, I spoke with Bill Nolte. In fact, he was on the show.
Oh, man,
from the Joint, the world-famous mythological bar.
J-O-Y-N-T, Joint. That's right.
Water Street there.
That's where I got my MFA.
What does that stand for?
Master of Fine Arts. But I got mine I don't drink and I don't smoke, never have. But I would go to the Joint, and I drove home a whole lot of drunken English professors and sucked on a lot of secondhand smoke just so they would talk to me about poetry and writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he said that was the only problem he saw with you, was that you wouldn't drink.
Right. I'd come
he
in
said, there. How can a writer not drink?
Well, that's not the only reservation Bill Nolte holds about me, but he was being polite.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a legendary bar there. It's so legendary that people who don't drink hang out there.
Yeah. In whose feet did you hang out at Poets Corner there?
At that time, John Hildebrandt and Bruce Taylor were big influences. Yeah. And then just a whole lot of poets and jazz artists would come through there. And if you just sat there and listened, here's what I loved about it. You learned about literature and art, but you also, you could talk about hanging drywall and the Packers. A little bit of everything.
Yeah, that's what's good about Eau Claire.
Liberal arts education there.
Eau Claire is kind of amazing. I was up there, and they're building this new art center and all this stuff. It is, and all the music that comes from there, and not just Bon Iver, but all these related people, and yourself, of course, you're from the area. It's the arts capital of the Midwest. America, maybe.
There's a lot happening.
It's happening. They're coming out of the woods to do it.
And the other thing that's neat is that there's also a lot of folks, we do focus on the arts, and I'm glad, but there's also a lot of folks laying block there because of the arts.
Yeah.
Which is, there's work.
It's the laying block capital of the world.
Dang right. Hanging drywall.
Yeah. So how's things going for you?
Going all right.
How do you like them book tours?
I'm glad to have them.
You're glad to have them.
They're pretty glamorous.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah.
You get the full treatment.
When I called you, you know, I was in, like I said, I was in a rental car behind a church in Nashville. I guess there's worse places to be in Nashville. But I had just driven in. That day I drove through five states, or the day before I drove through five states. I started out in North Carolina, and then I worked my way all the way through the Virginias, did a book reading in Moorhead, Kentucky.
So you drove yourself the whole way?
And then drove my, I am my own people. Do all my own security.
Your own security?
Yeah. Well, you know how it gets at book readings.
Oh, yeah, they try to get at you any way they can.
You look around you right now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, we got security here. They try to rush the stage.
Get this.
Yeah. And it's for the...
I just edited myself on the fly, by the way.
Okay. Like, yeah. Is that what that expression was?
It was.
I do that occasionally. I usually edit afterwards, And the Jesus Cow, that's because it came out in paperback now.
Yeah, so I was out on tour for the Jesus Cow, which came out in paperback, and that's why I went to Moorhead, Kentucky, to read about the Jesus Cow. And
is there any problem with if you might run into a religious crowd who thinks that perhaps Jesus Cow is not suitable?
Yeah.
For discussion, humor, writing,
it's
whatever. And your background is very strict.
It is. I grew up a fundamentalist.
Yeah.
Yeah, and was raised by very gentle, caring people who continue to worship the way they did when they raised me. I have strayed. Ambled.
But not far. Haven't strayed far.
Well, it's yes and no. I've made some 180s. Yeah, and a few more to come, people hope. But I was because I was raised by gentle people who, you know what, they talked a lot about humility and charity, and you don't always hear that so much coming from quote-unquote fundamentalism.
Or anyone else.
Yeah, and so but I reserve the right to find humor in all things, religion included, and I get nervous if religious people lose their sense of humor.
Yeah.
So I wanted to write this book, and the reason I was in Nashville is... part of the idea for this book came from there. There was a coffee shop called Bongo Java where they had a little shrine where they had a big cinnamon bun that looked like Mother Teresa.
Oh, that's pretty easy, though, actually, for a cinnamon
Well, it
bun,
really huh? did kind of look like her, although, as I say, it helped if you knew ahead of time.
Yeah.
So, and they called it the nun bun.
Jesus Cow is a much better title than the nun.
Well, thank you. Yeah. But there was just the idea of what happens when people see an image. And in this case, I wanted to write a book about a guy living in rural Wisconsin who had a cow that gave birth to a calf with what appeared to be the image of Christ on the side. And I could just read you the prologue, which is only two sentences
or
long.
Or read the whole book if you like. People enjoy
we got time.
Hearing from you.
On Christmas Eve itself, the bachelor Harley Jackson stepped into his barn and beheld there illuminated in the straw a smallish newborn bull calf upon whose flank was born the very image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, said Harley, that's trouble.
And there are similar. Wasn't there a white buffalo born in?
It happens
Wisconsin?
Every week, flying around the internet. Someone, it's called pareidolia. It's a
pareidolia.
Pareidolia. It's a neuropsychological, physiological something where your brain wants, you know, when it sees disparate objects, it wants to make sense out of them. And so when it sees a bunch of, like a stain on some drywall seems to be a recurring theme today.
Yeah.
When it sees a stain on drywall, your brain wants it to look like Mother Teresa or the Virgin Mary, or often people see what they believe is the image of Christ in wood grain and things like that. Yeah. So I just thought, well, we'll go with that. He has a little Holstein calf. It's got spots on it that look like, I said it kind of looked like that 70s clip art version of Jesus.
Kind of
looked like
it
came off the cover of a family planning brochure. kind of the Lutheran hippie iteation of Jesus.
The non-Jewish look. I remember that. How could anyone look less Jewish then?
So, that's the Jesus cow.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. And Do you constantly have something that's being written that you don't wish to talk about?
I better, or the banker will take my house
yeah.
away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on two things. I'm working on a book right now, trying to finish up a book about Montaigne, the French philosopher.
Montaigne.
Yeah, because, you know, for...
Well, isn't that funny? Because Nolte said something about you got to stop being Rousseau or something like that at a certain point in your life.
Yeah, Nolte says a lot of things.
I didn't know what it meant either. I didn't want to ask him even. He said something.
Yeah.
But you're doing Montaigne.
Yeah, I'm working on a book about Montaigne because he's been dead for 500 years and experts been writing about him for the whole time, so certainly the world was ready for my thoughts.
Yeah.
Here's the deal.
What about Montaigne do you like then?
Well, here's the deal on that book. This is filed under seemed like a pretty good idea at the time. Yeah. Well, the theorem, the working title, whether it will survive, is Montaigne in Barn Boots. And I'm just trying to, you know, one of my great desires is to find some way to bridge the gap between, there's a lot of anti-intellectualism going on in this country, and yet there's also a certain amount of condescension to where I come from, which is loggers and working class. And so I'm always trying to bridge that, and so I'm just trying to see what can a guy like me, who has no training whatsoever in the area, learn from reading a guy like Montaigne.
Excuse me, like one thing that Montaigne said that sort of characterizes how he might have thought about things. What's good Montaigne?
He basically said, the only thing I know is that I know nothing. And boy, I'd love to hear someone say that these days.
Yeah. Well, we just hit it. We just did. That's a good quote.
This is great, because this is like pre-book tour training.
Yeah. So, but doesn't it sort of, you don't usually like to talk about something you're working on, though, so I didn't want to get you.
No, I don't mind. I'll desperately attempt to promote anything and everything. I'm doing a stage adaptation of Population 485. We're going to try up there at that Big Top Chautauqua.
Oh, are you? Oh,
at the end of August. Excellent. Yeah. Very stripped down version. We're going to start small, see where it goes. But looking forward to that. Yeah.
Oh, that would be excellent.
Yeah. You know, just paddling the boat, man. I got a teenager just got out of braces, so.
Yeah. I know. 2000 for starters. And then it's a lifetime.
Well, I know. Well, here's the thing about that.
Yeah.
The first time I dropped her off, there were two things that were very troubling for me. And the first was that I met the orthodontist who was apparently 12.
Right. Oh, they're getting young.
I know that partly that's my issue. But here's the other thing. So he was in a... It's in a kind of a little strip mall type building, you know, and you go into foyer.
Hmm. And, foyer, you mean?
I say Montaigne, but I will say foyer.
Okay, that's your way.
So you go in the foyer there, and immediately to your left is the orthodontist office. Immediately to your right is a financial advisor.
I just
have this vision of my check. And going from, you know, I hand it to the orthodontist, and within 0.1 seconds, it just goes, poof, and it's over next door, and I never will see it again.
Never see that again. No. And it's a lifetime thing, because my daughters are both here, Ellie. Nora's somewhere over here. Nora's over there. It's lifetime.
Well, for
they have to be maintained.
For some people.
That 21-year-old is going to be 80 by the time he's done with you.
This is radio, so this is about the worst thing I can say, but you can see that I care quite a lot about how the teeth line up.
We didn't have it in my day.
I didn't either.
No.
Not that you could figure that out yourself.
Right.
By looking
and when did teeth protectors for sports come in? I don't remember any of that.
Well, I did have those, because I played football.
Did you? What'd you play?
Well, I anchored the line. I played center.
Oh, did you?
Yep, anchored the line at 165 pounds.
Yeah.
I played center, and I played defensive end, and I played kickoff coverage, and I played kickoff team as well. My senior year, I played all but 4 seconds of the entire season.
Wow.
That's what people, they go, wow, you were really good. And no, we played 11-man ball, and there were 17 guys. And,
so you played both ways.
Six of them had to help hay that week.
Yeah. Okay. So, That's cool. And, that's good. So things are going good, it sounds like.
Well, nothing's certain, you know.
Yeah.
Self-employed writer, you're just hustling all the time and trying to get people to pay attention. And,
are you growing on anything on that little farm of yours out there, or just the chickens for photo opportunities, or what?
We got burdock and box elder, and... doing great. When they figure out how to turn that stuff into fuel,
yeah,
I won't be talking to you anymore.
No, no, I don't think you will be anyway. But still, that's excellent.
We do have some chickens.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, someone mentioned. Oh yeah, you were talking about supermodels earlier.
Speaking
in the
of chickens, yes,
because it's that kind of show.
Yes.
I had to go to New York City on short notice recently for a little meeting, and I wound up. I was going on someone else's dime, which is the best way to go.
Yeah.
And it was during the winter, January, February, somewhere in there. And I got to the boutique hotel that they put me up in Soho.
Yeah, cool.
And I got on the elevator, and I was surrounded by supermodels.
Yeah.
Because it was Fashion Week.
Oh, I was there once during Fashion Week. That's great to be in an elevator.
And there were all these supermodel-y supermodels and me. And the thing I couldn't get past, apart from the fact that I felt like a frog caught at a heron convention, was that literally the last thing I did before I left the farm that morning, because the door wouldn't shut on the coop, I was chipping frozen chicken manure out of the coop. And then within hours, I was standing in this elevator, and I just want to say, hands up, who chipped frozen chicken manure this morning?
They wouldn't get it.
Oh, I do not.
They wouldn't.
I am not going to
necessarily see the
cast aspersions right on the supermodeling community.
Yeah. Oh. I actually was in that same situation with that supermodel. I didn't say a word. I don't think I did any breathing until we got to
it's lobby. Pretty much what I said. I just felt like I was radiating bad fashion dandruff.
Yeah. There you go. Now, I've been told that you have something else that you care to read. Is
someone
that
asked if I wanted to read something, and,
yeah.
I said, yeah, yes. if you want to. Well, yeah. It's too late to say no now, I guess.
I guess.
Mean, you can cut me off at any time.
All right, I'll stop.
The only issue is it's kind of heartfelt, you know, but
okay.
They
all
said
right.
You want to read anything of it, yeah.
All right. So if you must be heartfelt.
Yeah. All right. So this is a little short piece I wrote a while back, and it was composed in the waning days of December, so it's... it was written on the cusp of a new year.
Hmm.
But then again, I'd say that we're always on the cusp of a new year. I cannot anticipate the state of our hearts as we meet in this moment, but I choose for my subject a word I owe more study, whatever may transpire after I type it: gratitude. Gratitude, such a lovely word, humble and warm. Humble because it's not a word you use if you think you did everything yourself. Humble because no matter how hard you did work at whatever it is you're grateful for, you know, and more importantly, acknowledge, there was some luck involved. Warm because gratitude is not compatible with a cold soul. Warm because gratitude radiates like the gentle rays of a heart-sized sun. Gratitude goes softly out and does good works, which generate more gratitude. Gratitude is renewable energy. Gratitude, because to offer anything less would be to ignore all privilege, the privilege of existence, the privilege of health, the privilege of privilege. And now we are back at humility, or ought to be. Gratitude, because the world is awash with the sour surf of opposing sentiments. Gratitude, for those who show us the same. Gratitude even in grumpiness, which is to say, I'm not talking all hosannas, hugs, and puppies here. I'm talking about perspective and preponderance and relativity and a sideways glance into the cosmic mirror where behind me I spy millions of souls who would give all they own for just one of my disappointing Tuesdays. Gratitude as my moral duty. Gratitude because it's so easy. A note. A word. You don't even have to talk. Gratitude can be soundless. You can speak it with your eyes, share it with a smile, weave it into your works. You can kneel down and offer it up. Gratitude. A triple syllabic salutation to the six directions, whichever way you're pointing. The echoes go on and on. The echoes are gratitude returning. There's the idea among psychologists that gratitude can be cultivated. Put it out there and it comes back to you. Gratitude as a practice, as an intentional act. Gratitude in the form of reflection, a quiet moment, a look back. Gratitude, not as obligation, but as celebration. Gratitude with our loved ones in mind, the ones who suffer our ingratitudes with grace, and that grace, yet another reason for gratitude. Grace, cousin and catalyst to gratitude. Gratitude because as this year, or this day, or this hour, or this moment draws to a close, I am reminded it was another year granted, not guaranteed, and therefore not taken for granted. Gratitude, no matter the season. Gratitude. Thank you for all your time, Martha.
Michael Perry. That was very nice. Beautiful, in fact. And a good thing to invoke, gratitude, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Well, we don't hear it often.
Mm-mm.
I'm grateful for you, John.
Oh, thanks, man.
I really am.
I'm grateful for you, too.
Yeah, I told you. You know, I look over there, and if it was Phil Kelman sitting there all these years, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's, and we especially want to rearrange the letters as words there.
Yeah.
His name.
Yeah, we actually had this thing. You know, John has been here with me the whole time in previous shows and this show, so it's been 30 whatever plus years. Who knows? We had to get a substitute for one time, and there's a very good piano player in town named Phil Kelman.
But you said, oh, you switched the first letters around there, and it's Kill Feldman.
Kill Feldman. So
I actually made it that morning. You didn't have to.
That's why you kept your job all these years. You know, Kill Feldman. We're going to say Kill Feldman. Kill Feldman. Yes.
So, well, this tune is dedicated to Phil, then, wherever
all
you are.
All right, Phil.
And you, too. It's called Summer Night.
Summer Night.
What you got there? Oh, cards.
Cards. Yeah. Index cards.
For this beautiful audience today.
Yes. Give yourselves a big round of applause. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been a beautiful audience. So are you a Brewers fan then, or you just got the hat?
I just got the hat.
Yeah. What do you really like as far as baseball?
I'm not particularly interested in baseball.
No. It's a nice hat because it's a camouflage Brewers hat, and they could use camouflage, actually, for that team. So what's your name, then?
I'm Dwayne Butson.
Dwayne, you from around here, Dwayne?
Platteville.
Platteville. You know, John's from Platteville.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know each other.
Tulane's?
Graduated with him from high school.
You did? What was he like in high school? Much the same?
He's about as tall as he is now.
but he's sitting down. Him sitting down.
He was a pretty good basketball player, the way I remember.
Oh, really? Were you?
I was okay. Then I hurt my back, and I had to kind of stop.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Opioids?
Yeah. But I got help.
Okay. Well, very nice to meet you. All right, were you from Platteville, too?
Lancaster.
Oh, Lancaster. That's pretty close, though. Not
too far. Yeah, 15 miles from Platteville.
And your name is?
Diane.
Yeah, So what are you guys doing later today?
Going to an auction.
An auction? Farm auction?
No, house auction.
Oh, a house auction. Looking for a house?
No.
Household auction.
Oh, household auction. Yeah. Okay. What are you looking for then?
Anything and everything.
Really?
That's how us old people kill time, we go to auctions.
That's right.
you know, I'm in that group now, and I don't feel that way. I should start feeling more this way, like going to auctions and things. Okay. All right. Let's give them something, because they came here and they got an auction to go to.
Sure, that sounds good. Whether a casual picnic or an elegant candlelight dinner, an excellent compliment is a bottle of Domaine du Sac wine with overtones of raspberries and dark cherries.
You should have that memorized by now, shouldn't you?
Aged in oak from the Wollersheim Winery.
Are you reading that?
I am.
Yes.
It's a lot to remember.
I know you are. Mike Williams, what is your Wi-Fi password on your home network? Okay. Not going to fall for that again. What do you want for supper? I know no one I'm married to is here and would write a card like this, but who's offering to make me supper? Oh, hi. Well, what are my possibilities? I mean, with you, not so much the food. Can I come down here if you would? Yes, I'm interested to hear what possibilities are.
I was thinking that maybe you would say, where should I take you?
Oh! But we're not married, dear, so I can't come back with a line like that.
It doesn't have to be married.
Oh, you got to be married to say something like that.
Yeah? I guess we're off then, huh?
Okay, but that's an interesting thing, because you weren't really planning on making me dinner.
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay, what's your name?
Diane.
Thank you anyway.
What do I get?
What does Diane get for not making dinner for me?
Oh, gosh. Well.
How about some of that Domaine du Sac?
I heard
it's so good.
Sure.
Okay, a bottle of wine?
Thank you.
Okay.
That, Michael. Oh, all right, thank you.
Very nice. Empty gesture. Appreciate that. Oh, this is a good one. Oh, hey, Michael, please be nice to me today. I had to sleep in my car about half the night. Went to visit my girlfriend last night. She had the house locked. And she fell asleep, so she couldn't let me in. So please cut me some slack today. Dan Greenwood from Germantown. Where is Dan? Let's cut him some slack, ladies and gentlemen. Dan Greenwood. Germantown. Sleeping in the car again. Boy, she's a sound sleeper, huh? Dan? Oh, come on down here, Dan. Let's talk about it. Has this happened before? Or?
No, first time. I exaggerated. It was only about 2 or 3 hours, maybe.
Yeah.
So I drove there, and let's see what happened. So I got there. She had the house locked, and I couldn't get in. So I'm like, well, I gotta get some sleep. So I'm just gonna sleep.
You can't go through a window, because that leads to all kinds of trouble.
I didn't want to scare the neighbors.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I laid out in the back seat of the car. I got an Explorer, and I was laying sideways. It didn't really work. I had my head pressed against the one side. Yeah. Then my feet were up against the glass on the other side. Yeah. And then I thought, you know what? If the neighbor sees this, they're going to see feet in the window. It's going to look like there's a dead body or something.
Yeah.
So, but then she woke up, and she called me, and I got inside. So.
Did you notice your feet in the window when she woke up?
Did you? Okay.
You're a good sleeper. Are you? First time this happened? Or? Yeah, okay. All right. It's all okay, though?
It worked out. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
All right. Good. Any more slack you need to cut? I feel you did exactly the right thing in the situation.
I appreciate it. No, it was. We'll get through it.
Would you like a bottle of Domaine du Sac?
Absolutely. Yeah. She drinks a lot of wine, actually.
Apparently, that's why she was sleeping so well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay, you want to do the whole thing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's just give it all away. Why not?
Yeah, okay. All right, there you go.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you for so much entertainment for so many years. You're awesome at this, man.
Thank you, man. Very kind of you. All right. Mills. I have an extra ticket to see Bruce Springsteen.
Are you serious? I love Bruce Springsteen.
Do you want to buy it?
Oh.
I don't care for him that much. I don't know anybody who does, really.
I love Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea.
Oh.
You're a Bruce Springsteen fan?
I am a Bruce Springsteen fan.
How did that
happen? I shared
a
beer with him, Michael.
You did?
I did.
Who bought it?
In the sense that I held up my beer at a show and I was close enough to the stage that he drank it.
That's very sad.
One of my dreams, Michael, as a kid, was to be pulled up on stage to dance with him. Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Susan, where is Susan Maud, is it? Yeah. Do you want Stephanie to go with you?
Yeah. I'll totally go.
She's got nothing much here anymore. So.
It'll be in Pittsburgh. Can you go to Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, sure. I've driven to Philadelphia to see him before, so why not?
And when is it?
It's 9/11. Sad. We'll enjoy it.
You work in 9/11?
I don't know. Yeah. Let's talk, Suzanne. All right. Thanks.
Okay, good. Glad it worked out. All right. Yeah, give her a bottle of wine.
Yeah. For
she'd
sure.
like a bottle of wine.
Yep. Wine for Bruce, that works
for
me.
Yeah, pretty good. Then you can lift your bottle of wine to him this time. Can you wish Ed and Terry Taylor a happy anniversary? I could, but what's in it for me? Where are the Taylors? Taylors? Okay, I'm going over there and wish them a personal certified happy anniversary. How many is it? How many years? How many? Can you agree on a number, please? Agree on a number before I get there. It's going to make a difference in the whole interview and so forth. Yes, you can stand up if you like. Yeah. You want to come out here and talk? It's a little easier because we got a little more room to.
Yes, we do.
How are you?
I'm the Ed. Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're the Ed? And then you would be the Terry.
Yep, that's me.
Hello here. And how many years is it?
39.
You agree with that?
I do. Absolutely. Yes, dear.
They say the first 39 are the hardest.
Yeah, I agree to that.
First 38, maybe. Yeah. Last year's been a breeze, I bet.
Yeah.
And where did you meet?
Phone company.
At the phone company?
Yeah.
When there was a phone company.
When there was a phone company. It was the phone company.
Were you a lineman for the...
Was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're up on the poles most of the time. How did you come down and meet Terry?
She was up there, too. She was
up there, too. You're also a lineman.
Right, for a short
did
while.
Did you meet on a particular pole?
No. In the office.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Excuse me.
Well, we would go out looking for Ed to the bars. We go out Edding quite often. I was a friend of Terry's.
Who is that guy? And what does he just... And what did he just say?
He's the one that got us into this.
You introduced them?
No. Well, I...
No, he wrote the card.
Let's go back. You're on a pole in Sturgeon Bay? Is it in Sturgeon Bay?
No.
Where were you?
Madison here.
Well, here, Matt, you're on a pole in Madison. Right. And you're actually out there in the flesh on a pole climbing those things.
You bet.
Like they used to do.
Yep.
And where are you when he's up on... When did you first see him on a pole?
No, in the office.
In the office. What are you doing in the office? Just be up on a pole out there.
I know it. I was embellishing the story a little bit.
All right, so you weren't climbing poles, you were in the office. Did you work
Correct.
In the office?
Correct. No, I did climb poles.
You have to go to the office to find out what...
Pick up my truck and...
So they keep the truck in the office, isn't that? It must be a large office.
Yeah, right, it was.
Okay. All right. So you can find, you get your orders, what pole has got to, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yep.
And you were the person who would give him his, where he's got to go?
I was out also.
Oh, you're also on the pole?
Yeah.
So what are either of you doing in the office, and how could you possibly meet?
You got to start at the office before you start your day.
Okay. So you start the office today, and you're going there and getting your jobs and stuff, and you see Ed... And you see Terry, and then how did that work?
Okay.
But I mean, was there a spark or something? Or?
Something.
Yeah. You bet.
Did you make...
8 years later, it must have been something, or 39.
39?
I'm 39.
No, but I mean, the first moment, you must remember that. You thought...
Yeah. There was something.
There was something.
Yeah.
Okay, let's leave it at that.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this. Do you drink wine?
Yes, we do.
I've already got a couple of bottles of wine. Happy anniversary, by the way. Wonderful.
You're a wonderful couple. We got all kinds. We need two bottles of wine.
Correct. Domaine du Sec and Perry Fumet wines, both from Wollersheim Winery.
All right. Sorry, I got a lot more here to go through. We'll stay another couple hours. Just not broadcast it. Because what the heck? Oh, all right, so now we want to do the quiz again, right? That's what I'm thinking. We should probably do the What Do You Know quiz. You get a chance to win fabulous prizes. And well, okay. It's so weird that people actually want to do it. Because we're in that desperate, you know, bucket list time there where you got to, I don't know, you know, a young fella. Come on, you're a young fella. I want to carry on tradition of winning stuff you don't need or desire. And you are?
I'm Jake Scoville.
Jake?
Yes.
Scoville?
Yes.
What do you do these days, Jake?
I am the assistant director of a controlled environment research facility on campus here called the Biotron.
Biotron. That Jake Scoville from the Biotron. Okay. You don't even need a reason, man. Come on up. You don't need no reason if you're coordinating the Biotron. That's when you can transport someone physically from one machine to another in another part of campus, isn't it?
No.
Unless
no.
There's a fly. If there's a fly in there, it's a serious problem.
We try and keep the bugs down, though, yeah.
What is the Biotron? Is that composting thing?
We can simulate any climate on Earth except Antarctica, and we do research using all that technology.
Wow.
It's pretty nifty.
Why are you doing that?
I mean, there's a demand for it. We have a lot of...
Is that what my property tax is going for? The
No. We don't... You know, the university doesn't get a lot of state funding anymore. Your property taxes are saved.
No. I would give you much more. I would give you much more for a Biotron. Is it Jake, did you say?
Yes. Yeah.
And... So what is a Biotron again? I mean, it simulates environments, but why are we doing this?
We do plant, animal, and material science. We have a greenhouse on the back. I started in the plant program cleaning up after the plants, but as of last Wednesday, now I'm the assistant director.
Wow. So... So somebody died? Or?
No. So
Thank God nobody died.
The prior assistant director got an even higher level job on campus, and there was a vacancy, and I'm filling in until we find a permanent replacement.
Oh, it should be you, man.
That's what they all say. But I'd have to interview and go through that process, too.
So this is like cross-departmental in some ways. This goes various disciplines are involved.
Yeah, we serve clients in like lots of plant sciences and material science, so engineering, plant sciences, the School of Veterinary Medicine. We also have external commercial clients, too.
No kidding. That's amazing. So it's a moneymaker for the university.
It breaks even.
Well, that's a moneymaker for the university.
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool, very cool. And your particular interest is plants? Is that your background? In
yeah, I went to UW-Platteville and got a Bachelor of Science in biology and math, and then I worked in the plant program, but you know now I have to know how to do everything, including how the building runs as well.
Yeah.
And all the technology that supports it.
Yeah, and where is this building?
It's right on Observatory Drive. Right on campus, right in the middle of campus, yep.
Any dangerous things that could escape from it?
There are not. And we do take some precautions to keep the research contained, but we don't do anything dangerous, no.
No, you're not. Oh,
safety is always a concern.
Because, you know, Lyle's up there in the Carillon a lot of the time. Lyle Anderson.
We're far enough away from that, so you should be safe.
Well, winds and stuff. I'm glad to know you said, well, that sounds super cool.
It is very cool.
Yeah.
And also sometimes very hot or very humid.
Yeah. They must be very large as well. I mean, how big are these environments?
We have rooms as small as like a kind of walk-in closet, and then we have some that are about, I don't know, they're about maybe 30 by 30 feet or so. One has a very tall ceiling, but mostly they're about the size of a good, like a small bedroom in like an apartment, I'd say.
Yeah, cool. And can students rent them if they want to have a different environment?
That's a good idea. I've never considered that.
A little Biotron condo thing going on. Well, that's very cool. Congratulations on your success at that. That's
Thank
great.
You.
Okay, and someone plays along with you out there, and Stephanie, how does that all work then?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW and answer this qualifying question.
All right, if you paid any attention to the monologue, which you probably didn't, you should be able to get this one. Google self-driving cars now have AHI, artificial intelligence of what sort? AHI. If you know, give us a call here. Dusty is in Joplin, Missouri. Google self-driving cars can now do what with their artificial intelligence, I guess is the question. Dusty, do you know?
Well, I didn't hear the question.
Oh. Okay. You wanted it repeated then again?
AHI?
Yeah.
Artificial horny intelligence.
Yes, artificial horn intelligence. Very good. Dusty. All right. They have horns now that are, they're actually programming the horns, and they're supposed to be intelligent horns, unlike the one in my car.
Oh, well, that's close.
Yeah, close enough. Close enough. There in Joplin. Dusty, this is Jake here from the Biotron.
Hi, Dusty.
Hi, Jake. Hey.
Here in town.
What's going on?
Yeah.
I'm on the What Do You Know quiz. What's going on?
Well, about the same.
Yeah. What are you up to this morning, Dusty? We catch you at a good time?
I'm getting ready to go to a some kind of a country rap thing tonight in Springfield.
A country rap, W-R-A-P or R-A-P?
R-A-P. And I don't really appreciate it, but, you know, what the hell.
I didn't know there was country rap as a genre.
I didn't either.
Okay. Well, let me know how that turns out. Okay, let me just, I'm curious.
Okay. I'll call you back.
Okay. Are you a rapper or a singer or a musician yourself?
I can karaoke with the best of them. You know. That's about it.
Okay. Well, Dusty and Jake, you are a team right now. You collaborate on this quiz. We have various categories that Stephanie will tell you all about.
Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Dusty, you pick the first one. What would you like?
I like science.
You like science?
Me too.
See if you like this science. Male spiders cannibalized by the female may be choosy about mating. Male spiders cannibalized by the female may be choosy about mating.
Yes. Yes. They pick their opponent.
Jake?
What? Was that the question?
I don't know. And I wrote it. I have no idea. I've been under a lot of stress.
No, I heard this on NPR the other day.
Oh, did you? Then I must have heard it, too, and that's
sure.
What happened.
Yeah, that sounds
yes,
good. Yes.
Okay, fine. They may be. They probably should be, but it's probably too late anyhow.
All right. Yeah. One right, and the remaining categories for their last question are current events, people, places, school, and odds and ends.
I'm the worry. You got to get this one. What would you like?
Let's go with school.
School it is. Okay. All right. The U.S. has 1.2 billion pounds of cheese stockpiled. How long would it take the average American who eats 34 pounds of cheese per year to consume it?
It's all on you, man.
So what were those numbers?
Yes.
How much cheese?
1.2 billion pounds of cheese.
And they eat 30 pounds
you
a year.
You eat 34 pounds a year.
Oh, man, that's...
You want here's the paper.
Do you really want me to do this here? Is that what we're going to do? Okay.
You took mathematics.
In the Midwest, we would call it about a year.
What do you get? 40 million years?
Oh, well, it's 35,294,118. I'm sorry. Oh, all right. Let's give it to him. We'll round up. Very good.
Jake and Dusty, both of you can hold a fun and novel way to access a 44-million-word encyclopedia in the palm of your hand with Michael Feldman's Glad You Asked, intriguing names, facts, and ideas for the curious-minded from the editors of Encyclopedia Britannica and Triumph Books, along with a one-year subscription to Cleveland Magazine. Congratulations to both of you.
Ooh, Cleveland Magazine,
too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Jake.
How about the wine?
Hang on, Dusty. Make sure you get that. Nice talking. He wants the wine. Yeah, oh, thank you all for coming. Great to see you here. You're a wonderful audience. I wish I could take you home with me. What about the boys in the band there, John and Jeff? Stephanie will be on my left. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for listening. Talk to you again next week.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical Director Tom Lane with help from Brad Kohlberg.
All the way.
PRI, Public Radio International.